1 Corinthians 10 in your Bibles. We'll start there tonight. We've looked at this passage a couple of times in this series because of the New Testament teaching that coincides with what we were studying in the journey from Genesis through Deuteronomy. In chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians in verse 5, Scripture says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, any types of sexual sins, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall." We see where Israel in their journey made many mistakes, and they are examples for us so that we don't make those same mistakes in our lives and in our work of the Lord. As we navigate in this life, in this present evil world that we live in, Christ died to deliver us from this present evil world. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 4. Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And number one in your outline there is believers are to walk worthy of our calling as believers. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1, Paul wrote, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Now, that's an unusual word, vocation. It actually translates from a Greek word that is used in numerous passages of Scripture as calling. So we're to walk worthy of our calling that we have been called by. And chapter 18 of Ephesians, or chapter 1, verse 18 of Ephesians, says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, with the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints." So the hope of his calling. And the next passage, Philippians 3 and verse 14, speaks of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And 2 Timothy 1:9, "He who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling." In 2 Thessalonians, that you count you worthy of this calling. And in Hebrews 3:1, "Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." So these various usages of this same word, klesis, is translated vocation in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1. If we have answered the call of God to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, then we should answer the call of God to walk with God and lead the Christian life that he would have us to lead. Israel walked by the light at night from a pillar of fire and a cloud in the day to give them shade to go on their journey through the wilderness. And we walk by the Spirit of God guiding us, using the Word of God to follow our Lord and do his bidding, that we might please him and do what's acceptable in his sight. Israel was delivered from Egypt. That in all there shouldn't be there. Just, they were delivered from bondage in Egypt and began their journey with God to the promised land. Moses reminded Israel that God requires loving obedience to God himself, the great, powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God, to whom we must all give an account one day of our lives. And we should love him and serve him and seek to do what he would have us to do. Now, we saw that Moses revealed five imperatives back in Deuteronomy chapter 10. I got another error there. That should just be chapter 10, verse 12 through 11, 13. Verse 12 of chapter 10 says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all that therein is." So we belong to him and we should serve it. Humble reverence to his authority is fearing him, is making an acknowledgement that God is the authority. He is the judge of all men, and we should have respect and reverence for him. We should walk in all his ways. He gave Moses instructions, which Moses repeated to the people. He gave him the Ten Commandments God wrote with the finger of God on tables of stone. But he told him all kinds of statutes and instructions to tell the people on how to live and what to do. In the New Testament, our walk with God is often referred to as a walk. If you want to look at Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." Worthy of our calling. We're never quite at that point where we can think ourselves worthy. It's by the grace of God that we've been called, and God allows us to serve him. And we're to walk in the light as God is in the light, and not to walk in the darkness of sin or evil, 1 John 6 through 7. We're to avoid walking as we did in the past before we were saved, under the guidance of Satan rather than under the guidance of God. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 1 through 3, we all had our time past in the things of this world and him who is over this world, the prince of the power of the air. But God saved us and delivered us from that. And that past way of sinful unbelievers, we're not to walk that way. In Ephesians 4 and verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." So they were away from God. They were not able to please God. God was going to destroy these 10 nations because of their sins. Said in verse 19, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness." And that means an absence of restraint, just living according to their desires, "to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Don't let Satan get a foothold in your life by sins. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So this is a list of the way that we may have lived before we were saved, as the Gentiles lived. And Israel is to now have a new life, be a new man with the Spirit of God and not live in the old way. We're to walk as dear children, Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. He saved us, he's changed us, so we should walk in that new life. In verse 8 of chapter 5, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So we've been changed from living a life of darkness that was in sin and evil before God in darkness, and now we are children of the light, and we're living in his light and walking with him. We're now to run the race of the Christian life, we find in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now we have many things that are affecting our lives. We know that if sin affects our lives, we're supposed to confess that to God, remove it from our life, and seek to not go back to that. But there's something else that hinders our walk with the Lord, and that's weights. Things that just hinder us, that keep us from being the person we should be, that keep us from the Bible, that keep us from the church, that keep us from our walk with God. And we should lay those aside just like sins. We're to walk in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus said the first two commandments. The first great commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind. And the second is like unto it, we're to love our neighbor as ourself. And Jesus said, upon these two commands hinge all the law and the prophets. So if we live so that we love God with all our heart and soul, and we live as we love our neighbors, then we won't have a problem obeying God's commands. You see, if you love God, you won't worship idols. If you love God, you won't make graven images. If you love God, you won't take his name in vain. If you love your brother, you won't have to worry about you stealing from him or lying to him or committing adultery with his wife. So the commandments are all based on love. If we love God and love our neighbor, then all these things will be fulfilled. And of course, Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, and that hasn't changed. It's still there. And we're to serve the Lord. In Deuteronomy 10 and verse number 12, we saw these five imperatives. And then to keep his commands in chapter 10, verse 13. In the New Testament Greek, which the New Testament was translated from the Koine Greek language, and these commands that are called the Old Testament, in the New Testament are called imperatives from the Greek language. The mood of commands from the language, such as in Acts 2:40. Look there with me. There's about 1,100 imperatives in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, the scripture says, and with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. And that is an imperative, that we save ourselves. by following what the Bible teaches. In Romans 12, 2, we're told to be transformed, not to be conformed, shaped with this world, but transformed away from this world. We're in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. We're to be separated from sinful things. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled is an imperative. That's how we are to be changed, to be different. Chapter 6, verse 17 of 2 Corinthians. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So we're to come out from sinful living and sinful people, separate ourselves from them. We are to fear God. We are to walk in love. We are to serve God faithfully. We're to keep His commands. If you go to 1 Thessalonians 5, the last chapter of Thessalonians, and look at verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto all men, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And then a rapid-fire list of imperatives. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these are some of the imperatives that the Bible teaches us that we should obey as the Christian life. Our walk of faith, back from Deuteronomy, we have to step out by faith as Abraham did. If you look at Romans 4:3, you'll see that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, that he would go where God told him to go, that he would leave his home and family and follow the Lord's path to the promised land. And he did so by faith. And that's exactly what we're to do by faith, step out and follow God. You can look back to Genesis 13, verse 17 and 18, and see where Abraham had a meeting with God, and God received his faith. Our works in Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. Most of you know verse 8 and 9. Can quote it for us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're not saved by works, but we're saved to do works. Once God saved us, we are to serve Him. We're to work for Him and do the work He's called us to do. We serve God by serving mankind. Number 3, character, defined in English, a pattern of behavior found in an individual or a group of moral constitution and reputation. What we simply call in Christian circles a testimony. Having a testimony of goodness and morality. It needs self-discipline, needs fortitude to continue to be found faithful. hearken diligently to love the Lord. And if we do, God promised to give the rain and the grass for the cattle, all from Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 23. Conduct. Paul wrote Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 10, the life led by Christians, the result of our conduct. In 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So that's the Christian life and our conduct. God expects us to have a Christian conduct no matter what we're facing in going through this world. Then worship. Worship means to make obeisance or reverence. It's an act of homage. It's an avowal of allegiance unto God. It can be as simple as kneeling to ascribe worth to God in prayer. Father, hallowed be thy name. Thou art worthy of our praise. And to thank God for all that he does for us. In Acts 24, we're almost at the end here tonight. Acts 24 and verse 14, I believe, 14 through 16. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. After many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereunto certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. The world would call us in question for serving the Lord Jesus Christ, for doing all the good that we do and helping people and sending missions around the world. They would call us in question of these things because it doesn't fit their mold of what they think religion is all about. He speaks about those who worship in chapter 10 of Hebrews. And the praise of thankful people giving glory to God is worship. So these kind of define that word, make it a lot more understandable and palatable. We've seen through the years these videos of people standing up, holding their hands and swaying and singing and all that sort of thing. And that individual person may be worshiping if they're praising God, asking cleansing of their sin and all that. But you don't have to do that to worship God. You can kneel wherever you are and bow your head in reverence to God and ascribe worth unto the Lord. To serve, to minister. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4:2 that as ministers of Christ, we are stewards for the glory of God. And the word minister there is the Greek word huperetes. It translates an under rower, like a galley slave in a ship that was chained that would row the great galleys for the Roman military. Christ considered his service to God at times to be like an under rower who did a strenuous work for God to please him. And to make separation means to mark off boundaries. We often talk about don't cross certain lines. Don't cross the boundaries that God has placed for us to live in with freedom. Be in fellowship with God. We must separate from all iniquity and darkness and evil and sin. If we get out of fellowship with God, doesn't mean we've lost our salvation. If we get out of fellowship with God, grieve the Spirit, quench the Spirit, we simply need to confess our sin to God and forsake it, believing he will cleanse us and restore us to all righteousness. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of your people being here tonight. We ask you to help the workers to finish doing the work in the church building so we can get back to our regular classes and regular schedules. We pray for the Spanish church tonight meeting in the fellowship hall that you'd bless their service and bless them. And Lord, we're dependent on you. We thank you and praise you, and we ask for your help. We ask you to bless our nation, especially in this upcoming election. We ask you to bless the nation of Israel as you will do and protect them. We pray for the little country of the Ukraine that's in war with Russia. And we ask, Lord, that you'd give us wisdom to live our daily lives that in a way that pleases you and is acceptable in your sight. We ask for your help that we might be good witnesses and help other people come to Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.